Do-do-do. All righty. Boy, oh boy, Michigan voters will have a lot to decide in 2026. A new governor, a U.S. senator, whether to rewrite the state's constitution. All of Michigan's major statewide offices will be vacated at the end of the year due to term limits. And, of course, then the pending retirement of United States Senator Gary Peters, which threw a lot of people for a loop. That immediately made that race to replace him one of the most closely watched in the country. But there is more. And to cover that, we go to the CEO of Harbor Strategic Public Relations, Mr. John Selleck. John, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Paul W. It's good to be with you. We even have to think about the media that will cover us is having a new battle this year. That's on the top of my list. The Detroit News and the Detroit Free Press, recently freed from their joint operating agreement, kind of rolled out this last week in the first new Sunday paper from the Detroit News in a really long time. And they are pepped up to go against each other. And that really only benefits all of us because we get way more scoops, way more information, and we all benefit from that.
That JOA lasted forever. And though it was supposed to only be for business reasons, people couldn't help but think they didn't always maybe separate the papers the way they are certainly separated now for the first time in many, many years. And so I'm kind of excited about it. We're going to we've talked to Gary Miles. We're going to have him on. We'll have whoever on we need to talk about this. But that's a very good point I hadn't thought about. And it's a good one, John Selleck. I think we're entering into a new era of wider news coverage on everything that happens around us. And we need to support our newspapers.
Yeah, we absolutely do. They're an essential part of the mix of all the media coverage from WJR to all the TV stations and everyone else that's out there on a more independent basis, because we have so many races in Michigan that are considered to be among just the tiniest handful of toss-ups, our governor's race, our U.S. Senate race, and one of our congressional races, all put in just a handful of the toss-ups in the national media summaries. And what does that mean? We're going to see an endless amount of money being spent here in Michigan to try to win those seats, because they are going to tip the balance in Washington and here in Michigan as far as who's in control.
You know, I think of the governor, secretary of state, attorney general, all 110 state house and 38 state senate seats, all 13 congressional seats, two Michigan Supreme Court seats, the question of whether to hold a state constitutional convention, and whatever else, other questions that might make the ballot. Now, even though President Trump is not on the ballot in 2026, he certainly will loom large as voters head to the polls halfway through his second term. Now, for those politicians who say, well, I've got Donald Trump's support and backing, is that a net positive or a net negative in Michigan?
Well, if you're a Republican and you want to get through a primary election, you need to have that endorsement. And there's little doubt that all the GOP candidates for governor are pushing hard to grab that endorsement. Mike Rogers this time around seems like he essentially has the field to himself for U.S. Senate, and he's already had the support of President Trump. So it does really matter, and I think it's a good question about what it means for the general election. When we talk about politics nowadays, Paul W., and we used to say all politics are local. That was the famous Tip O'Neill's line. But if you look through the Instagram and Facebook pages of Michigan's gubernatorial candidates and its U.S. Senate candidates, they're all talking about Venezuela. So when President Trump makes the decision, it doesn't just happen in his world. It happens in the world of every one of the candidates, both Republican and Democrat, here in Michigan for statewide office or Congress. So we're going to continue to see his effect on these races. Today you have Abdul El-Sayed and John James and others out there talking about Venezuela, and who would have thought that was on the radar screen for those candidates a month ago?
Well, I hope that the Republicans are smart enough to trot out the audio and videotapes of their big president, the last one, Joe Biden, who in 1989, as Senator Joe Biden, urged stronger anti-drug actions, including a strike force against narco-terrorists where they lived, something to the effect of he was criticizing, at that time it had to be President George H.W. Bush, and saying that the Bush's war on drugs was failing because the U.S. needed to go after cartels where they lived. So it's the Democrats who are now complaining about this. Their leader, their spiritual leader, was calling for this in 1989, and I'm sure that he wasn't the only Democrat calling for that in order to be able to criticize the Republican president at the time. So, you know, the hypocrisy that we live in this world of politics sometimes gets to be overwhelming. John Selleck is here, a CEO of Harbor Strategic Public Relations. Let's face it, there's a big deal situation as we gear up for what could be an historic gubernatorial election, uniquely shaped by Detroit Mayor Mike Duggan and his decision to leave the Democrat Party, and all of a sudden they started criticizing him, to run as an independent. That's a very big deal, because if there was ever an independent that really had a chance to win it, it would be him.
Yeah, absolutely. First, isn't it strange to say not mayor of Detroit, Mike Duggan? Saying that. We got to get used to saying Mary Sheffield, and that's a good thing. But Mike Duggan has done something, to your point, Paul W., that no other politician in Michigan could probably do. When he announced that he would run as an independent last year, he passed the laugh test or the smell test. And there's almost no other politician who could have come out and said they were doing that and passed the laugh test. And that's because we've seen his record of winning things he's not supposed to win, quote unquote, not supposed to win as a write-in, not supposed to win as a white candidate who in a city that hadn't elected a white mayor since the early 70s, things like that. And he certainly has accomplished a lot. And one of the things he's been good at accomplishing is raising a lot of money, and he needs that. Fortunately for him, he doesn't need to spend it in the Detroit media market as much. He's already created a name for himself there, which most candidates die to have. He just has to spend some money outstate, where it's a lot cheaper in those media markets like Grand Rapids and Traverse City and Marquette to build your name ID and tell your story. And he has to tell a story out there to keep making an impact, to keep taking voters from both sides, not just the Democrats, but to also grab some Republicans. And we're going to be seeing at the end of January, within just now maybe another less than 4 weeks, the campaign finance reports for all these candidates, Mike Duggan, John James, Mike Cox, Eric Nesbitt, Tom Leonard, Benson, Gilchrist, Swanson. We're going to see all of them put their cards on the table, because now we're getting to where the rubber hits the road and they have to be able to pay for ads and communicate with the voters. We're going to see how much money they've raised going into this actual election year.
Yeah, and not to mention, too, this whole ground-shaking announcement from Gary Peters when he announced his retirement, ending his political career after 12 years in Congress, upper chamber. It really sent shockwaves through the Michigan Democrat Party, and I'm not sure how they're emerging from that shockwave.
Yeah, I think last time around, Senator Stabenow decided to leave. She did a pretty good job of controlling. She's credited with, anyway, controlling what went on in the Democratic primary. You know, it's the Republicans who struggled through an expensive, bruising primary. This time around, as great of a politician as Gary Peters has been, and if you look through his track record, other than losing to Mike Cox for attorney general in 2002, he's been a master politician. And he's been one in Washington, too. He's been in charge of the Senate Dems campaign committees. He was not able to keep this primary clean, not yet. And we have a three-way battle going there. You know, we mentioned earlier Abdullah Syed and Senator Mallory McMorrow and obviously Representative Haley Stevens. They are all raising a lot of money. They're all doing a lot of damage to each other. And it's generated so much attention that when the Cook Political Report looked at which states have toss-up U.S. Senate seats, Michigan is one of only four in the whole United States, and it's an open seat, so there's not even an incumbent involved to fight over. So we're going to see a long, drag-out battle here in the Democratic side of that U.S. Senate primary. We're going to be hearing a lot about it, not only from those three, but from all the forces that want to influence that election.
On the Republican side, we've got Congressman and gubernatorial candidate John James up next. Your thoughts about his chances?
Every single poll that's been out has shown what a massive lead that he has in the primary. He's done well to protect that and grow it. I suspect as he announced his campaign team is getting started here in Michigan full time, we're going to see a lot more of Congressman John James. And he has a chance to run away with this thing and meet Jocelyn Benson and Mike Duggan in the primary. or in the general election, sorry.
John Selleck, CEO of Harbor Strategic Public Relations. Happy New Year to you, John, and we'll lean on you a lot during this this coming year. Thanks for your help, as always.
All right, hold everybody's feet to fire. Good job, Paul.
Okay, we continue on WJR, Paul W. Smith in Focus.